All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Vayakhel. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, there's not much in the difference of the storyline over the last couple of weeks. The Parshas of Truma Tetzaveh, then Vayakhel Pekudei, all pretty much focus on the same basic narrative, which is the story of the creation, fabrication, collection for the Mishkan. So remember again, whereas in Truma Tetzaveh, we focused a lot more on the actual command to build, Vayakhel Pekudei, we speak about the actual specifics of building. So what's interesting to note is as follows. So to a certain degree, Vayakhel and Pekudei are pretty much like a repeat of Truma and Tetzaveh. But yet, when you look in the parashios themselves, you begin to see that not every single detail is repeated, and not every single detail is repeated in the same way. So, meaning, there's pieces of information in Truma that are not in Vayakhel, right? And then there are certain pieces that are in Truma that are quoted in Vayakhel, but are also quoted a little bit differently, which tells you that you have to be attentive to the nature of the wording and the verbiage in these parshios. That there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes conveys to us, and this in general is true with the Torah, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys to us very nuanced concepts through very nuanced ideas. Very nuanced concepts and ideas through very nuanced wording. So I want to share with you an example of that tonight, which is a pasuk that you would probably read, and at first glance, your simple reaction would be, next, right? Not really very interesting, not really very intriguing, doesn't seem to be able to convey that much, but yet you'll see something dramatically amazing. Take a look at number one. So the Torah is telling us over here about the curtains of the Mishkan. So remember again, because the Mishkan will have to be a mobile structure. So there were curtains. There were curtains at different points. There were curtains that separated the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies from the rest of the area. Other curtains which demarcated areas within the courtyard of the Mishkan. So the Torah tells us a very simple point. Es yisdos ha-mishkan ve-es yisdos ha-chatzer ve-es meisrehem. Among the things that Moshe Rabbeinu, I should say the craftsmen of the Mishkan, fabricated were the pegs of the Mishkan, the pegs of the courtyard, and their ropes. Rashi comments at number two, what's the pegs, what's the ropes? So Rashi says, Yistos, what are the pegs for? Litkoa v'likshar bahem sofei hayirios ba'aretz, shelo yanua baruach. So what's the point of the pegs? You can see the English over here, number two. They were used to drive into the ground and tie the ends of the curtains with them into the ground so that they, the curtains, would not move with the wind. Meisrehem. So ultimately, again, what were the ropes for? So Rashi says, Chavalim likshor. Ropes used to tie the curtains. So what's happening over here? So according to Rashi, so we see the idea is that they would take the curtains themselves, didn't end, I don't know like what the proper weaving terminology for this is, but it wasn't like a straight end at the end of the curtain, but rather there were pieces of fabric which extended down. Fringes, right? So what would you do with the fringes? You would tie the fringes down to the pegs. What's the point of tying the fringes down to the pegs? So that the curtains shouldn't flap around, that they should be solidly attached to the bottom. The ropes, some of the curtains were tied to ropes. Those ropes were tied to the pegs in order to anchor the curtain in place. It's riveting, no? Like it's overwhelming. Hey, I got it. Meaning, remember again, this interesting piece of information was conveyed earlier in Parshas Truma, yet the Torah feels compelled to say it again. So the question we have to ask, see, this question is really a twofold question. You have to ask this question in general when you learn Torah, which is, number one, in general, the Mishkan is so intriguing. Why? Because the Torah spends so much time focusing on a structure that we will never have again. Right? Remember, there, for example, the book of Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, is filled with sacrificial law. So, okay, sometimes sacrificial law can get a little bit dry. It can get a little bit uninspiring. So what do you tell yourself in those moments when it gets a little bit inspiring? How do you self-inspire when it comes to sacrificial law? When Mashiach comes, right? It's going to once again become, according to the opinions that say that there are sacrifices in the third Beis HaMikdash, that's a dispute. But assuming, let's say, there is going to be sacrifices, we're going to need to know these laws in the future. Okay, you come to the Mishkan. Are we ever going to have a Mishkan again? Never. It's not the pshat like when Mashiach comes and the third Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have to collect. There's a campaign. You have to get pledges. You have to this. You have to that. So in the meantime, we'll go like into the Mishkan. And then once we raise all the money, no, when Mashiach comes, there's a third Beis HaMikdash. There's never again a Mishkan. So isn't it riveting to contemplate the idea that the Torah spends four parshios? Four. Then, remember, every parsha, every pasuk is prime real estate. It's like waterfront acreage, right? Prime real estate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends four parshios speaking about structure that we will never, ever have again. Now, obviously, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends so much time, what God is telling us is even if you don't have the structure, the details of the structure are important as they tell us and they teach us how to live impactful lives. Take that lesson and distill it down even to the most to the simplest and most mundane of facts. So Torah here tells us that the fringes of the curtains were tied down to the pegs, or some of the fringes were tied to ropes. The ropes were tied down to the pegs, and good news, the curtains were properly anchored. What's the message? So I want to share with you an incredible idea by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we're actually going to do two different approaches with this. The first is by the Rebbe. So if you take a look at number three, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, "Kitshuva l'kach mefarish Rashi." So remember again, the other piece to remember about this is Rashi is a reactive mefarish. Rashi is a reactive commentary, which means what? When does Rashi comment on something? When he's bothered by something, right? When there's a problem. In other words, Rashi doesn't just give ideas. Rashi sees something in the verse which bothers him, and therefore he feels compelled to comment on it in order to clarify something. So remember again, the truth is, I actually don't need Rashi in number two. Because the truth is, if I go through the psukim, I know what the pegs are for, and I know what the ropes are for. It's clear, because they're mentioned in the context of the curtains. So I understand that they are there to anchor down the curtains. Yet Rashi felt compelled to, and again, if you look at number two for just a moment once more, Rashi feels compelled to say, Liskoa v'likshar b'em sofahirios, the pegs were used to tie down and to anchor the bottoms of the curtains, shelo yanu'u baruach. Which means what? Shelo yanu'u baruach? They shouldn't flap around in the wind. So the first part that the fringes of the curtains were tied to the pegs with the ropes, that's pretty much explicit in the text. The part that Rashi's adding in is that last phrase. I should have underlined it. But that last phrase, shelo yanu'u baruach. Why do we tie down the curtains so that they shouldn't flap around in the wind? That's Rashi's gift to us. The curtains shouldn't flap. What's the message? Let's look at what the Rebbe says. Back to number three. Shayesedos hayu mechubaros v'meisaram ala yirios v'yechelek mehen lachin mechavon shemalechas hayirios drasha emunam yuchadas lo estapku chach mehalev ba'asiyas hayirios atzman ela hishlima es ha'avoda atuma. So what is Rashi saying? Now you have to understand something. These curtains, right? These curtains were a masterpiece. The Gemara discusses the number of threads, the number of strings, I should say, that went into each thread of the curtain. The incredible handiwork, the incredible tapestry. So what Rashi is conveying is, you might have thought that when does the work for the curtain end? As soon as you go ahead and you finish making the beautiful masterpiece, you're done. Rashi says, no. You're not done until when? Until when? Until you tie down the fringes to the pegs. That's the end of the job. The job doesn't end with the fabrication, creation, or even the hanging of the curtain. The job ends when the curtains are anchored down to the peg. Look at the second paragraph, number three. Kisha Torah mitzayanes zos. When the Torah tells us this, Higam romezes. The Torah is teaching us an incredible lesson. And here says the Lubavitcher Rebbe is what Rashi was trying to teach us. Shekasher oskim bimalocha kedosha. This is such an incredible idea. When you engage in holy work in this world, Shedoreshes mumchios v'simas leiv, that requires a degree of expertise and attentiveness. Tzarech lahashlima ad tom. Tzarech lahashlima ad tom means finish the job. When you start something in life, finish the job. Ein lehistapik bitzdadim hakashim yoser ulahashir es hashar la'achirim. You see, again, I would have thought that the craftsmen, after they went ahead and they made the curtains, remember, again, an incredible, just so you understand, by the way, how big these curtains were, how large they were. So the Gemara Maseches Chulin, we just had it in Daf Yomi not so long ago, explained that if the curtain ever contracted ritual impurity tumah and had to be immersed, they needed 300 people to navigate the curtain. Now, that's a bit hyperbolic. Yimar says it's a bit of hyperbole. So let's say, again, it's exaggerated. 100 people. 50 people. It's huge. And it's a masterpiece. Remember, again, there were different images on both sides. It was magnificent. So you might have thought, imagine you're a craftsman working on this curtain. You put in all of the time to fabricate the Mishkan. You get it, or the curtains. You get it straight. It's a masterpiece. What do you say to yourself after the curtain is done? Someone else, right? I have a guy for that, right? I have a guy, a hanging guy, right? He'll hang up the curtains. And even if I hang up the curtains, I'm not going to get down on my knees and start tying it down to the pegs. There's someone, I'm an artisan, right? I'm an artist, right? There's someone else who could do that. Rashi says, no. The job of the curtains is not done until you tie the, what was the word?
Fringes.
Fringes, thank you. Until you tie the fringes to the pegs. Meaning that when you start something meaningful in life, you are only done when the task is done. You are only done when all of the details have been fulfilled. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Hamumcha tzarech l'ktapel gam bepratim haktanim biyoser. The expert has to involve him or herself even in the smallest of details. And this says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is the message that Rashi is trying to glean from this particular little pasuk, from this what appears to be at first glance seemingly redundant information. When was the job of the creation of the curtains done? When you fasten the fringes to the pegs. The message in life is, when you start something in life, finish it up. Because if you don't finish it up, then you don't get credit for the task. What Rashi's highlighting over here is something dramatically amazing. I guess the truth is, sometimes we could relate to this, like in home improvement projects. You know, so what happens sometimes, you get an idea that you want to do something, and at first when you start it, there's an incredible excitement. And what often happens? Excitement lasts for how long? Like 80%, right? And often there's that last 20% that should really take about like 6.5 minutes. But somehow it could linger for months and it could linger for years. And by the way, it's not just true in external house improvements. It's true in internal house improvements. How often do we start out in something in life? I undertake something. And again, when it has that new initiative smell, right? And that new initiative excitement, I'm gung-ho, I'm on it. And then what happens? I still do it, but I'm not so careful with the details. Or I do it, but I don't execute it fully. Or I do it, but I don't do it with all of my heart. So Rashi HaKadosh is teaching us something amazing. If you undertake something in life, see it through to completion. Do not live a life of half-finished projects. Do not live a life of half-baked initiatives. Do not live a life where you make the curtains. Because imagine the imagery over here. You make the curtains, but you forget to fasten them, or you just neglect to fasten them to the pegs. And what happens if you don't fasten the fringes to the pegs? What happens? The curtains are all over the place, as they say in Latin, nishtahin nishtaher, right? They're all over the place. They're all over the place, right? A curtain is supposed to be a wall. A wall is meaningful when it's solid. And here, you put in all of this effort to make this beautiful tapestry, but you forgot to fasten the fringes. So the whole tapestry is going ahead and literally being moved all over the place. Can't function as a wall. Its true identity doesn't go. You worked so hard, yet you forgot to finish the task. You forgot to finish it up and fasten the tassels, fasten the fringes down to the pegs. And just to give you another illustration of this, take a look at number 4. This is an incredible Gemara. The Gemara says, Vayikach Moshe asmos Yosef imo. Moshe Rabbeinu, when leaving Egypt, took the bones of Yosef. Remember again, Yosef dies in Egypt, and he charges his children to bury him in Eretz Yisrael when they go up. So the Torah says that when they left Egypt, you know, all of the Jews are busy accumulating Egyptian wealth. What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing while all of this is happening? He's gathering the remains of Yosef to transport them for burial in Eretz Yisrael. Uksiv ve'es atzmos Yosef asher ha'alu b'nei Yisrael. But there's a problem. One pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the remains of Yosef. Another pasuk says that the Jewish people took the remains of Yosef. So who was it? Was it Moshe Rabbeinu? Or was it Klal Yisrael? To which the Gemara says, Aramicham Rabbi Chanina, second line, number 4. Listen to this line. Kol ha'oseh davar v'lo gamro. If you start something in life, but you do not finish it. Uba achar v'gamro. And someone else comes along and finishes the task for you. Ma'ala alav ha'kosuv al shegamro ki'ilu aso. Who gets credit for accomplishment in life? Who gets credit? He or she who finishes the task. To start stuff in life and leave it unfinished, I'm sure that there's some degree of reward, right? And certainly some level of accomplishment in that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not where growth comes from. Growth doesn't come from half-started and half-finished initiatives. Growth comes from when you find the courage to start and you find the courage to tie down the fringes to the pegs. You start the job, you finish the job. Whatever you start in life, you see it through to completion. The Medrash says in number 5, Lefichach, Hamaschil b'mitzvah, yehei gomer kula. That's why again Chazal taught us that if you start a mitzvah, you must finish it up. Now, I know what you're thinking. What you're thinking is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. It's not your job to finish the task, it's just your job to begin it. So how do you reconcile these two ideas? Here we're saying, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, it's not your job to finish, just your job to start. Which again, the message over there is, what? What? I can't control the results. If I can't control the results, really my responsibility is to control the effort. Yet here Rashi's telling us, if you don't tie down the fringes to the pegs, if you don't finish the job, you don't get credit for anything. So what's the simple resolution? Like most things in Judaism, it depends, right? What does it depend on? There are different types of initiatives in life. There are some things we undertake where I can't control the result. Many things like that in life. Many, many, many things like that where I know I have to try to do something and I know that I simply do not control the outcome of this. So Chazal tell us, just because you can't control the outcome does not mean that you have an excuse not to try. Because in certain life circumstances where you can't control the outcome, you still have to put in your effort. But there's a whole host of other realities in life where I do control the outcome. In fact, there's many things that happen in our day-to-day lives that I do control the outcome. The kind of person, every single day, a person has to ask themselves a simple question. Well, it's a simple question to ask, not a simple question. What kind of person do I want to be today? Who do I want to be today? That's the question you have to ask yourself when you wake up. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving back my neshama. Who do I want to be today? Who answers that question? Who answers that question? Me. Right? Who else has control over that question? Only me. There's a perfect example. And now what happens? A lot of times we know, how does the day go? Someone were to ask you to describe your day. A lot of times you could describe a day as, you know what? I wove such beautiful tapestries. But you know, I never tied the fringes to the pegs. I started a whole bunch of great stuff. I just didn't see it through. I just didn't finish it up. I had ideas, I had dreams, I had aspirations. I started on this, I started on that. I got distracted on this. I wove beautiful tapestries, but I forgot to finish the job. I started on many things, but I forgot to finish the job. Hamaschil b'mitzvah omim lo gimar. Okay, the stuff you can't control, that you put in your effort, leave the results up to God. But for the 98% of my day-to-day life, which I do absolutely control, don't just weave the tapestries. Finish the job and connect them to the pegs. The Ramchal, the Mesilas Yesharim, says something amazing. Take a look at number 6. So the Ramchal develops this idea. We're going to do a few pieces. You know, and I always say, like, Ramosh Chaim Letzatov, the Mesilas Yesharim, is like a staple in the Jews' Musar diet. But I always feel like the words of the Ramchal carry for us an incredible amount of weight. When you know about his life story as well, the Ramchal died at the age of 39, right? He died in a plague in Eretz Yisrael. He died together with his entire family, wiped out in a plague in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramchal was accused of being a Sabbatian, was accused of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, because he went ahead and he taught Kabbalistic ideas. Apparently, it's noted, some of his students reported that he claimed, that Ramchal claimed that he had discussions with the Malachim, he had discussions with the angels. People, this got out, they accused Ramchal of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. He was blacklisted. He could not get a job. Can you imagine this? Ramosh Chaim Letzatov shows up to the local yeshiva, day school, you know, Sunday school. They won't hire him. They will not. He was blacklisted. He will not hire him. He becomes an optician. Can't make a living in Europe, ultimately goes to Eretz Yisrael, and not long upon after arriving in Eretz Yisrael, he dies with his family in a plague, 39 years old. 39 years old. The Ramchal understood what it means to weave tapestries, and the Ramchal always went ahead and tied his tapestries, the fringes, to the pegs. The difference is just a lot of other people ripped them off. So his tapestry was always flapping in the wind, but yet he maintained an incredible resolve, an incredibly amazing life outlook. So what the Ramchal says, 6 Aleph. We're going to do a few pieces here from the Mesilas Yesharim. Ukiloshon hazeh amruzal, zrizim makdimin lemitzvos. So we're familiar with this concept of zrizos, right? Zrizos. So what does zrizos mean? That it's not, we know in life, in general we know in life, that it's never just about doing the right thing, but how you do it is just as important as what you do. So says the Ramchal, that is zrizos. What's zrizos?
Rushing
or alacrity, right? Alacrity, a zeal. That's why, which makes sense. You know how sometimes, like, somebody asks you, or you ask someone to, that's reverse, you ask someone to do something, and they do it, but like, they're schlepping along, right? So they said yes to you, but yet what do their actions clearly show? They're not interested. In other words, how you do things absolutely provides an insight into your feelings about that initiative. So if I'm really interested in something, I do it with alacrity. I do it with zviz, I do it with a zeal. If I'm not interested, I'll drag my feet. So says the Ramchal something amazing. So let's talk about this idea of zrizos. Why? And this, by the way, this occupies a major role within our Yiddishkeit. We're very big on zrizin makdimin lemitzvos. This idea that it's not just enough to serve God, but I serve God with a zeal. Why is zeal important? Why is alacrity important? He says, v'zeh, kimo shetzarech pikchus godlo v'ashkaf harabo, linatzal mimok shehayetzer, ulihimalit min arash lo yishlot bo, lis'ariv ma'asinu. I'm just going to read one more line. Kein tzarech pikchus godlo v'ashkaf le'achos b'mitzvos, v'liskos b'hem v'losa avdena mimena. So says the Ramchal something amazing. When life presents you with an opportunity, what's the greatest danger you face? Life presents you with an opportunity. What's the greatest danger you face? That you lose it. You see, the incredible things about opportunities is they come and go. And the greater the opportunity is, usually, the smaller the window you have to act on it. The lesser the opportunity, the more time you have to decide about it. The greater the opportunity, the smaller the window you have to act on it. Says the Ramchal something amazing. Everyone thinks that zrizos, this alacrity, is just all about showing God that we're eager and interested to serve Him. And that is definitely part of it. But says Ramchal, there's a much more practical idea. A mitzvah represents an opportunity. In life, we have to condition ourselves to jump on our opportunities. Because if we do not do so, they dissipate. How many times in life do incredible opportunities present themselves to us? And what happens? What do we say to ourselves? Right? Let me think about it. Let me think about it. And I think about it, and I think about it, and I deliberate, and I think more, and I deliberate more. And then one day, finally, I decide that, you know what? I'm going to take that opportunity. And then I'm shocked when what? When it's gone. What am I shocked about? Opportunity is going to sit there nestling itself by my feet, waiting for me to go like a puppy, waiting for me to pick it up and embrace it and take it and utilize it. It's not the way life works. Opportunities present themselves. You take them or you don't take them. You act on them or you don't act on them. And if you don't act on them today, don't expect them to be there for you tomorrow. Says the Ramchal, that's Zrizos. Zrizos is not just about showing God that yes, we are interested in serving Him and we love Him. So I don't drag my feet when I do mitzvos. I do it with alacrity and zeal. Says Ramchal, this is something much more fundamental. This is about how you deal with life opportunity. Zrizos means I know that opportunity is fleeting. And if I don't grab it now, it probably will not be here when I finally decide to wake up. Paragraph Beis, he says something amazing. Vitira, this is just, and by the way, what I just want to point out, this is why I gave you a little bit of the biographical information, that Ramchal was 39 years old, right? 39 years old when he died. And at that point in time, had already authored a large number of svarim, many of which are central to our database, so to speak, of basic Judaic knowledge to this very day. What are most people doing at 39 years old? Figuring out what they want to do when they grow up, right? We're still figuring it out at the age of 39. What would have happened if the Ramchal was still figuring it out at the age of 39? What would have happened if the Ramchal did not seize all of his opportunities? The world would have never had a Mesilas Yesharim. And what kind of world would it be where they're not a Mesilas Yesharim? So it's profound to see where these words are coming from. Paragraph Beis, Vitira, he says, Kiteva ha'adam kaved ma'od. This statement is amazing. The nature of a person is very heavy. What does that mean? He says, Ki afrius hachomrius gas. Listen to this. Human beings are made from earth. Earth is matter. Right? What's the natural state of matter? Natural state? At rest. Right? We know matter only moves if what? If it is acted upon. Right? Otherwise, matter is just simply at a state. We are matter. We are physical. So therefore, as such, our natural disposition is to be in place. Our natural disposition is not to move. Our natural disposition is to be rooted where we are. That's why most of us don't like to work very hard or to exert ourselves. Ultimately, really, what does Zrizos require? Zrizos requires me almost to go against the very grain of my nature. My nature is to be at rest. My nature is not to move. My nature is to take the path of least resistance. What does Zrizos tell me? What does Zrizos tell me? Move. And move quickly. Why? Because if you don't seize your life opportunities when they present themselves, they may not be there for you when you decide to act upon them. And ultimately, again, it says Ramchal, why is this so difficult? It's very simple why it's so difficult. Because we're physical beings. And physical matter is at rest until acted upon. Don't wait to be acted upon. Move yourself. That's the idea of Zrizos. And Ramchal goes on. Turn the page. Paragraph Gimel. V'ini anachnu roem be'einenu kama opam opamim. So many times in life, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I know exactly what my obligation is. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Yani Cheyu is an amazing thing. There's sometimes I have absolute clarity what I'm supposed to be doing. There's only one problem, which is I don't do it. I know it, which is a great start. I have a vision. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, how I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be doing it, what it's supposed to. I know everything. I just failed to launch. I just failed to launch. It's all set up. Everything is there. I can envision it. I just for some reason don't do. Why is that? It's not because it's not important to me. Because sometimes he calls it laziness. But it's not really laziness. What it is it's because my natural default is to be at rest. My natural default is not to move, is to be immobile and rooted in place. Because after all, I am a physical being. He goes on, he says, Vari Omer. Oh, so okay, so then he goes on with the rest. So in this part, we're going to tie this all together in just a moment. What Ramchal is saying over here is something dramatically amazing, which is the concept of zrizus, of alacrity, of zeal, of doing things with haste, is not just because it shows that serving God and serving our fellow man and serving us are important. There's a utilitarian need to act with zrizus. Because if you don't jump on your life opportunities, they will not be there for you, especially the good ones, when you decide to go ahead and wake up. And he goes on, number seven. And with this part, we'll tie it back together. Chelki azrizus shnayim. Says Ramchal, there are two aspects to life zrizus. This is amazing. Echad kodem ha-maisa. One is before the action, but we will call pre-actional zrizus. Va'echad acharichein. And one is what he'll call post-actional zrizus, but really what it means is mid-actional zrizus. There is pre-actional zrizus, mid-actional zrizus. What does this mean? Here we go. Kodem aschalas ha-maisa, hu shlo yachmitza adem es ha-mitzvah. Ela ba'agia zmana o bizdam nalafanav o ba'alosa b'machshavto, yimar yachish ma'aseu le'achos ba, ve'la'asos osa, ve'lo yaniach zman lizman shisar ben saim. Ultimately, again, says Ramchal, what's pre-actional zrizus? That's what we were just describing before. Pre-actional zrizus says, when an opportunity presents itself, what do you do? What do you do? Jump on it. That's pre-actional zrizus. The opportunity is here. It's presented itself. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do, I'm going to act. Look what he says at the end of 7 Aleph. Ki ein sakana ki sakana. So, listen to this profound statement. There is no greater existential danger in life than waiting. Why? Listen to how profound this is. Hasher hine kol rega shemischadesh, yuchal leischadesh eze ikov lema'asatov. Because every moment you wait to seize your opportunities, what could happen? Something new happens in life. Right? By the way, I think everyone, in today's day and age, we experience this quite often. What happens? You begin your day, right? And you make your list of everything you have to accomplish, right? And your masuda, you're going to be good, it's going to be great. And then what happens? And you say to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to check my email. I have like precision focus. I'm going to get this done. And then what happens? All right, fine, I'll just take this call. And what happens? You know, you take that call. The next thing you look at your watch, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. You haven't done one of the things that you knew were, again, you were doing important things, but you haven't done one of the things that you told yourself you were going to do that entire day. That's how life works. The way life is constantly moving. Life has constant things that are perpetually occurring and coming up. So says the Ramchal, if you don't jump on the opportunities when they present themselves, something else will come up in the interim that will grab your attention and take you away from that thing that you wanted to accomplish. And by the way, the things that distract us and derail us are also important things, are also good things. They might not just be important and good for now. His wording is so profound. Ki ein sakana ki sakanoso. The greatest danger to life accomplishment is tarrying and waiting. Because the longer you wait, the more stuff comes up in life. And the more stuff that comes up in life, the more distracted you become. The more distracted you become, the less likely you are to ever go back to that original life opportunity initiative. And if you somehow, some way make it back there, the opportunity often is not there. That's pre-actional zrizos. Don't wait. Because if you wait, you do not know what comes up, and the opportunity is fleeting. What's mid-actional zrizos? Paragraph base. And this is what we're going to link back to us. Achaz rizos, acher achaz chalas ha-maisu. What's mid-actional zrizos? Shekevet she'achaz b'mitzvah. Mid-actional zrizos is, once you started something holy and significant, yemar lahashlimosa. Which means what? Once you started something, finish it up. And by the way, don't just finish it up. Finish it up quickly. Finish it up as quickly as you can. And don't be tempted, like we are many times, to say, you know what? I started it 80% through. Good enough. Good enough, right? It's good enough to say. It's good enough to check the box. Don't do that, says Ramchal. Elam yirasa penlo yiska ligmarosa. Finish it up and don't wait to finish it up. Va'alzeh hirbu lahazir zirchon olivracha. Kalamascha b'mitzvah enogomer. Fine. So ultimately, again, says Ramchal something amazing. There are these two incredible levels of zrizos. Two incredible levels of alacrity. Pre-actional alacrity. When the opportunity presents itself, don't wait. Because when you wait, other stuff in life comes up. Jump on it. Seize it. Take it, actualize it now. And mid-actional zrizos, when you started something, finish it up. To link this back, this in reality is what Rashi's trying to teach us with this simple fact, or this simple pasuk in number one. The Torah tells us that the craftsmen were not finished until when? Until they tied the fringes down to the pegs. Teaching us an incredible and dramatic lesson. When you start something, finish it. And finish it all the way. But how do you finish? How do you ensure that A, you start the right opportunities and you finish them? That comes down to one word, which is zrizos. You have to live life with zrizos in order to ensure that you finish your life initiatives. And both forms of zrizos. Pre-actional zrizos, mid-actional zrizos. The pre-actional zrizos ensures that when the opportunity comes my way, I jump on it, grab it, seize it. The mid-actional zrizos ensures that whatever you start, finish it up. Whatever you start, finish it up. And what I would tell you is, I think, and this says Rashi through the eyes of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey to us through this simple detail of tying down the fringes to the pegs. And I think this is an incredible lesson for us, because the truth is, you know, we live in an age of multitasking, right? And it's interesting, because I think any of us, anytime you try to multitask, it's interesting, what do you usually find? You really might end up doing more, but the quality is way inferior. And the truth is, as a result of multitasking and being bombarded by a lot of things, a lot of us have diminished attention spans. I don't mean like a person has a clinical issue. That's not what I'm talking about. I just mean in general, again, we have diminished attention spans. So what ends up happening a lot of times in life is we start things, right? And we just lose interest. And so for many of us, like, if you open up our closet of life, there's like 1,000 half-started projects. There's 1,000,000 80% done initiatives. And I've started and almost done so many things. But for whatever reason, when it gets down to tying the fringes down to the pegs, I just check out. I just lose interest. Or when the opportunities present themselves, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then what happens? The phone rings, right? And then I'm off somewhere else. Or I start it and I get through it. And again, mid-actional zrizos, I just don't jump on it. And then again, the phone rings again. And it's something else. Torah Kedoshah is teaching us, when you start weaving the tapestries of life, first of all, when the opportunity to weave a tapestry comes your way, jump on it and grab it. When you start weaving it, finish the job. And when you finish the job, finish it all of the way. You might end up doing fewer things in life, but at least you'll know that the things you do are perfect, complete, that whatever you do, your fringes are tied down to the pegs. That's lesson number one. Let me end off with one last shorter lesson. If you take a look at number 8. So this was also very striking to me, that in the grand scheme of the Mishkan, this detail espoused in number 1 is relatively minor. Take the fringes, tie them down to the pegs. Right? There's so much that's going on in the Mishkan. So much that's being fabricated in the Mishkan. Right? And yet, again, the Torah goes out of its way to tell me this smallest of details. There's a message here as well. The Torah in Devarim says as follows. This is number 8. V'haya ekev tishmunas ha-mishpatim ha-ele, u'shmartem v'asisim osam, v'shamar Hashem elokecha, l'cha es habris v'es ha-chesed. Parshas Ekev. Torah says, and it will be because you will heed these laws. So God says, essentially, if we listen to his laws, he'll take care of us. Rashi notes the lashon, the word choice of Ekev. Ekev also means what? The heel. Says Rashi in number 9, Vaya Ekev Tishmon, im hamitzvos hakalos sha'adam dash ba'akvav Tishmon. So Rashi says, what is the Torah referring to over here when it's trying to encourage us to listen to the mitzvos? The Torah is referring to the little things which we trample with our heel. In other words, that in religion, in Judaism, so we're often very vigilant, careful with the larger details. But you know, the reality is we all have things in our Yiddishkeit that we're not as attentive to, or we're not as vigilant with. That's just the nature of people. But there are some things that we generally relegate to a lower level of importance because we feel that they're small things. They're small things. They don't matter as much. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that, I just want you to know, it's the little things that really matter to me. It's what you do with the little things that make the most impact in our relationship. And by the way, that's not unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's true in any life relationship. Right? Think about this for just a moment. Even in a marriage. In a marriage, what's the most important thing that one spouse does for the other? Most important things? To be honest, it's not the birthday gifts. And it's not the anniversary gifts. Again, of course those are important. I want to be clear. Right? Those come once a year. It's wonderful. What makes the true fabric of a marriage? It's the little things day in and day out. It's how one spouse smiles at another. It's how one spouse takes care of the other. It's the small kindnesses that one person do. That's what makes the fabric. Their big presents are wonderful and they're beautiful and they're important and they definitely intensify and amplify love. Presents, big presents, birthday presenters never create love. They can amplify love that is already there. What creates love? The day-to-day small things that a husband does for a wife does for a husband, a parent does for a child does for a parent. In every relationship, it's always the little things that matter. V'ayakev t'shechash Baruch Hu says, I appreciate that you're attentive to the big details in Judaism, but I need you to know that it's just as important to me that you be attentive with the smaller details. And if you look at number 10, sort of Itzel Blazer, you can see a little biography over here, says something so beautiful. He says, he quotes Rashi, number 10, Tzarech Adam Ladas, Shepamim Afilu Ma'asepot, Yochol Lahachriya Goralo Ba'ze'ubava. So a person has to know that sometimes even the smallest of actions could have the most dramatic of impacts. He gives an incredible mashal. His mashal Adam, an incredible parable. Mashal Adam Shebikesh Lagi Lekrach. So he gives the following mashal. Person wanted to travel to a city. Velo hispiklo kaspo ela liknos kartis nesia at hatachana achrona shlifnei osokrach. So imagine the fine situation. I need to travel to Penn Station in New York. So what happens? I show up at the counter and I only have enough money to get me to a metro park, to Newark, New Jersey. Right? That's the amount of money I have to get me to that. So what happens? So it's only another $10 to get to New York, right? But I only have I don't have $100 to get to New York, I have $90. That's what I have. So what happens? So the conductor comes around and I say, come on. I had 90, I'm missing 10. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Right? The overwhelming majority of the funds are present. It's not a big deal, right? What's $10 between friends? Well, no problem, we're not friends. Right? But what's $10? It's not a big deal. So what's gonna happen? Comes Newark, New Jersey, what's happening? I'm off the train, but $10. So it's Lebeleza says something amazing. Because I'm short a couple of dollars, Yoridu Osam in Harakeves, Bitachana Achrona, for the Agila Matarasso. It's only a couple of dollars. But yet those couple of dollars prevented me from getting to my destination. I needed to get to Penn Station. I was missing $10. I'm in beautiful, scenic Newark, New Jersey. Right? And that's where I am. A couple of dollars makes all the difference between getting to your destination or getting dropped off a stop early. Gam b'inyonei shamayim kach. Says Rav Itzel Blazer. It's the same in spirituality. Yesh ma'asepot sha'adam hisrasha v'lo asa u'biglal ze lo yaspiko lo ma'asev atom nachir lekav schos. Same thing is true in spirituality. It's the little things that make all of the difference. Yes, the big things are important also. The big mitzvos, right? The big forms of speech, of course, are important. But the smaller details are just as important. Because again, just like if I have $90, that's 9/10 of the fare. That's fantastic. But it's not going to get me to my destination. The $90 will get me 90% of the way. But I need that extra little bit to get me to my destination. In life, the big things will get you far. But it's the little details of the relationship that really get you to the desired destination. Why is this important? Because if you go back, what is the Torah telling us about over here? The Torah is telling us about the fringes of the curtain. When you look at the curtain, do you even notice the fringes? I would assume not. The pegs? These are not like some artistic pegs. They're just pegs, right? Do I notice the pegs? And the answer is no. But yet it's the fringes. It's the pegs. It's the clasps between the curtains which hold the curtains together. It's the small details that make all of the difference. It's the small details that show our commitment to our Yiddishkeit. It's the small details that show our commitment to a relationship. It's the small details that make or break our relationships. It's the small details that allow us to get to our desired destination. I'll end with a beautiful quote by Van Gogh. If you look at number 11, and this is amazing. He wrote, "Great things are done by a series of small things brought together." Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Now this is very profound, especially if you appreciate this from the vantage point of a painter. How does a painter create a beautiful masterpiece? How? One stroke at a time. You'll say to yourself, but it's not the strokes that are important, it's the finished product. There is no finished product without the strokes. And the artist could tell if the artist leaves off one stroke, the artist sees the deficiency in the finished product. Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. We try in life to create the masterpiece. That masterpiece is our self. I am the masterpiece I'm trying to create. And I have an image that I want to create. And I have a vision that I want to create. That vision is not created with a couple of cans of spray paint that cover up the canvas 1, 2, 3. That image is created by the fine-tuned strokes of my life paintbrush, of the small, detailed acts day after day. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us, even about the smallest details of the Mishkan, to say just like it's the small details that make the Mishkan, it's the small details that make our Judaism, it's the small details that make our relationships, it's the small details, the small brushstrokes that make our masterpiece of life. And so it turns out that, again, I would venture to say that number one is a pasuk that we've seen many times, but I would venture to say we've never spent more than 6 seconds, which is the amount of time it takes to read it, going through it. But how incredible that we have a Torah, that even through the simplest and most seemingly simple pieces of information, we learn these two dramatic lessons. Lesson number one, the lesson of Zrizos. Pre-actional Zrizos, mid-actional Zrizos, Jump on your opportunities, because if you don't, they will go away. When you start something, finish it up, and finish it up quickly. And it's the little things sometimes which matter most. It's the small brush strokes, the everyday little things in our relationships, in our service of God, that to create the masterpiece of who we are. I'll stop over here for tonight.